In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Isaiah 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert for our God." Who is crying out today, "Prepare the way of the Lord"? We are living in a wilderness today, a wilderness that is anti-Christ, anti-life. We are living in a wilderness today, but who will cry out in the wilderness to prepare for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord in glory? Who will be like John the Baptist, who proclaimed repentance for the forgiveness of sins and a baptism for the forgiveness of sins? Who will it be? We do not have very many people. Oh, we have been so nice in church. Everybody's nice. And who is it that proclaims the word of God? Who is it that proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, we need evangelists. We need evangelists more than we need anything else that is going to bring people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what happened last night. I want you to know it's not about me. What I'm talking about has nothing to do with me. I just happened to be there. We went to see the sneak preview of Les Miserables. Father Matthew had tickets, and it was very wonderful. And at the end, we left the theater, and I was there waiting for Father Matthew to get the automobile, the car. Well, I would say that 400 people passed by me. I'm leaning over now, and they can't help but see me. I have a collar on. And I would say that 398 people looked beyond me, and never looked at me. Now, I'm in their face, literally. It has nothing to do with me. It has what I represent. It's who I represent. It has nothing to do with me, Father Tom DiLorenzo. But here I am dressed like a priest, and I'd say 398 young people, and they were all young, looking past me, not even getting eye-to-eye contact. Very interesting, because I remember about 20 years ago, I realized that we had lost the young. I was with Betty Foley and my mother, and we were looking for the Immaculate Conception Church in Salem. And we stopped in Salem to ask where the church was, and the kids had no idea. They had no idea where the church was. It's amazing. This is 20 years ago now. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking 20 years now. This is 20 years later. And I tell you, things are much worse, far worse. We need a voice that cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We need a John the Baptist, like 5,000 John the Baptist and 10,000 St. Francis's. We need them to go out and proclaim the gospel of the Lord, the presence of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Lord, the death of the Lord. We need it. We need it now more than we need anything else. And you know what? Who is it that cries out? Not many people cry out with the urgent message, "Give your life to Jesus Christ," with the urgent message, "Salvation is only through Jesus Christ," with the urgent message, "Choose heaven or hell. You do not need to choose hell if you choose Jesus. He saved us from the wrath of God. He saves us from hell. Who is it that proclaims a gospel that is so urgent, especially in this time? I tell you, at least in the time of John the Baptist, the people were coming and they were being baptized. I tell you that even the Sadducees and the Pharisees came, and John told them they were a brood of vipers and snakes, but yet they came. They came. They were interested. Whether they gave their life or not, I have no idea. But at least they were interested. We have lost the interest of the young people. We have lost the interest of people. They don't even know where the church is anymore. This is the way it is. We have confirmation classes that they come to confirmation class and they do not go to Mass. We have Holy Communion classes where they come to CCD and learn about the presence of Jesus and they don't go to Mass. I tell you, we are living in a post-Christian era, a post-Christian era. And Christianity is salvation, salvation through the blood of Jesus, salvation through the cross of Jesus, salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. My friends, this is a reality. This is a reality. We are in a post-Christian era. I preached this about 20 years ago, and now 20 years later, it's far worse. It's far worse. You know, the priest 40 years ago was an important person in the community. The priest was an important person 40, 50 years ago in the community. When there was trouble, they would bring the trouble to the priest. And the priest would listen, and the priest would pray, and the priest would give guidance. Today, I tell you, not many. I have many. People are calling me all the time. People are calling me all the time. They have my phone number. They call me all the time, and I do the best I can with the little that I have in my own life. I tell you, there is a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people going to the theater, and I said, where is the evangelist? Where are there people who are proclaiming Jesus? You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unevangelized people, as well as unchurched people, and you just look and say, my Lord and my God, we have gone wrong. I'm taking you back to 1980 now. In 1980, my father was dying. It was during the summer. I remember driving by Wollaston Beach, and the kids were all out there. And the Lord said to me, the church has failed. They don't come to Christ, and they don't come to the church. Well, you know what? I couldn't do anything that year, because my father was dying. He died August 1st. So I was in my own trouble, and I couldn't do anything. And then you know what happened the next year? During the summer, the beginning of the summer, I drove by Wollaston Beach, and the Lord gave me the same word. The church has failed with these young people. And what we started to do, me and Simi and Marilyn and other people, we began to walk the beach. We began to walk the beach and give them tapes and give them cassettes. I gave them the cassette of How God Changed My Life. I tell you, we reached so many people that year, so many young people. They would come and they would come to the rectory and say, I need prayer for this and I need prayer for that. And I would pray with them. I tell you, we need people that are on their feet bringing the gospel to people, because if we do not bring the gospel to people, they are lost, and there really is a heaven, and there really is a hell, Mary Ellen, and there really is a purgatory. And I tell you, a purgatory is not a second chance. A purgatory is for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have given their life to Jesus Christ. They just have so much to be purified of, because they didn't let the Lord purify them during their lives. But let's talk about heaven and hell, the final destinations. We are leading people either to heaven or to hell. And I'm looking at these people last night, and my heart cries out. I'm praying in the spirit for them. I'm praying under my breath in the spirit for them. Because you know what? Most of them are lost. Most of them are lost. Most of them are lost. They don't belong to any church. They don't belong to God. They belong to the world. And the world is that place which is ruled by Satan himself. Oh yeah, our children are very schooled in the world. They know the world very well. Who will be the John the Baptist, my Lord, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? Who will be the John the Baptist that really he was rejected by the religious institution because he seemed a little crazy as the prophet? I tell you, if John the Baptist came to our churches today, we would escort him out. He would not be the person that we would look at because he was loud and he probably smelled. And I'm even going to say this, if Jesus Christ came into our churches today as he was when he walked Galilee, I tell you, we would have no part of Jesus because his message would be repent. His message would be the kingdom of God. His message would give people the choice of either heaven or hell. I am saddened. I am saddened by what I saw last night. These are the women that have no other alternative that if they are sexually active, that get pregnant and that bring their child to the abortion mill. I tell you, my friends, we have lost most of the youth. I thank God for what Father Matthew does. I thank God that he was in 5 different parishes last week proclaiming the gospel. I thank God for him and for people like him that will do the work of the Lord, especially with young people. Because if we do not get the young, if we do not get the young, if we do not get the young, I tell you, they are lost. They are a lost generation. They are a lost cause, and only Jesus can save them. A voice crying out in the wilderness, who will cry out for Jesus? Who will cry out for Jesus during these days? Who will cry out? Well, when I was a child, you would go into the Boston Common and people would be preaching there. And you know what? Isn't it wonderful that people would be preaching to the people who were going to buy their Christmas gifts? I tell you, people would be preaching there. I wonder if that's happening now. I wonder if we have any John the Baptist. I don't care if they're Catholic or Protestant. I wonder if we have any John the Baptist going out, crying out repentance that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants to save you, that Jesus gave his life for you, that we can be washed in the blood of Jesus. Father Matthew asked me last night, how would I begin to evangelize these people? I would get their attention. And I would pray for a miracle. I would listen to God, and maybe there was somebody with scoliosis, and I would pray for a miracle, and I would ask the Lord to heal this person. And in the midst of the healing, some people would open their eyes. I'd probably get thrown out of the show, but that's another story. I would have got the attention of a few at least because Jesus healed them and they would be interested and their tongue would have been launched in the living water. At least they would have got a little bit of the living water. And I tell you, who is it that preaches to the young? Who is it that preaches to the old? Who is it that preaches to the sick? You know, especially old people too. We take for granted that every old person knows God. That's not true. That's not true. I remember going into the house of a 90-year-old, and I told this 90-year-old woman that she was loved by Jesus. And she says, it's too late for me. I never prayed in my life. I never went to church. It's too late for me. I said, well, you know what, honey? I got to have a story for you. How old are you? She said, I'll say 93. I know it was 90-something. And I said, oh, so you're 93. You're just a baby to God. He lives in infinity. God is infinite. infinity. So you're just being born, I'm telling you. Well, you know, as compared to God. And so we prayed, and she gave her life to Jesus. I tell you, we need evangelists during these days, people that will proclaim the true gospel, people that will proclaim the living gospel, people that would bring people to Christ, people that would not be ashamed of Jesus, people that would cry out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Who is it that we have? Who is it that goes out and proclaims? Even on radio, who is it? On television, who is it? I was told last week, now I respect Benny Hinn. I'm going to tell you, I respect Benny Hinn. I've seen the miracles done there. I respect him as a real person. But someone told me, now I don't know if this is true, but you can check it out. I'm not even going to say it. But it turned this person off when he was advertising something. It turned this person off. And you know what? It's so easy to turn people off. Like, if I need money to run this program and I start going into the flesh, you know, and I turn people off, I tell you, I'm responsible. God gave us this ministry, and I ask for what we need, and he provides what we need. Every once in a while, I do ask, and I don't spend much time asking. If you listen to this broadcast, you know I don't spend much time asking, because it's not about money. Even though I need $26,000 a month, it's about the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It's about the proclamation of the Lord. It's about the love of God. It's about the love of Jesus. Make straight the way of his paths. Every hill shall be leveled, and every valley shall be filled in. Oh, John the Baptist, you were the one that prepared us for the coming of the Lord in his public ministry. Oh, John the Baptist, when that little boy died, when in the book The Heaven is Real, he met you and said that you were the cousin of Jesus. Oh, John the Baptist, I pray that from the throne of God where you are, that you would pray for us, that God would raise up people like you, that God would raise up people in the midst of the community who will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what we have now in the church, okay? I'm going to tell you what we have now in the church. In the church, we have factions. Factions. We've got the Latin faction. We've got the English faction. We've got the folk faction. All these different factions. We've got the charismatic faction. All these factions. St. Paul spoke to all those factions in Corinth. Did I die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Who are you for? Are you for me? Are you for Apollos? Or are you for Christ? We have so many factions. So many factions. And you know what? They are diversions. I'm not here to promote the charismatic renewal. I believe in the charismatic gifts. I have experienced them by the grace of the living God. I believe in speaking in tongues, but I'm going to tell you, everyone that speaks in tongues, that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? I want to proclaim Jesus Christ. I want to proclaim his mercy for you, for you, for you. If you were the only one, he would have died for you, for you, for you. You who snapped on the radio today and you hear this voice and you think I'm crazy. Ah, crazy for the Lord. We're all crazy for something. Crazy for the Lord. I need you to tell Jesus, I'm desperate today. I'm desperate today. Can you help me? Can you help me in the midst of my desperation? I'm desperate today. I don't even want to live. I'm filled with fear. I'm filled with depression. Will you help me, Jesus? Will you help me, Jesus? Will you be for me, Jesus? Jesus, be Jesus to me. My friends, when I went to the theater last night, I was not discouraged, and I was not discouraged when I finished. I just know there is a need of someone to proclaim the gospel in the wilderness. And in 2012, we are living in a wilderness. We are living in a wilderness. Even people that go to church every day, doesn't mean that they've given their life to Jesus. Now, I didn't tell you that. I know somebody that has been with people that go to church every day, and she said to me, they don't even believe in miracles. Some of them don't even believe that Jesus is present as Eucharist, and they go every day. What's necessary? I tell you what's necessary. An evangelist to tell people, choose either heaven or hell. Choose Jesus, because the message is urgent. It's about eternal life. And eternal life is this, to know thee, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent. This is eternal life, to know thee, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent. My friends, pray that God would raise up John the Baptist. Pray that God would raise up people like him. And I'm telling you, no one's going to do it exactly like John, but the message has to be the same. Repent and believe Jesus Christ. Repent and be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Repent and come to the cross. Come to the cross and surrender your life to Jesus. Oh, the message is the same from Peter to Paul to Andrew to John to all the apostles and all those people that heard the gospel through them. The message doesn't change. And the message is not about the church. The message is about the Lord of the church. The church can never be the message. The church is the messenger. So often we have made the church, the Latin liturgy, the English liturgy, the charismatic renewal. We have made these things our object. It's not about these things. If these things lead you to Jesus Christ, praise God. If these things cause you to be an evangelist, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God has a part and you have a part in the body of Christ? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? The church must never be the message. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is Lumen Gentium. It is the light of the nations. It brings the gospel of Jesus to people from where we are to the ends of the earth. Let me tell you, the church is called to be missionary. We are sent out to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ as missionaries. We drove by Park Street Church last night, and I said, you know, this is a good church. They send out missionaries to the world to bring people that have not heard the gospel to Jesus Christ. Now, I know they're not Catholic, but you know what? They are my brothers and sisters. They send people all over the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? What are we doing? We who have the fullness of faith. We who have the church that Jesus Christ founded. What are we doing? What is our message? Where are the missionaries that we send out? Thank God for the African missions. Thank God for the priests that are throughout the world. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God again and thank God again. But, you know, missionaries have to be from the laity too, like Maria Vadia going to Poland, Maria Vadia going all over the United States proclaiming Jesus Christ, Maria Vadia going to Africa, three or four nations in Africa. We need people that will be anointed preachers, and that comes from the Holy Ghost. The anointing comes from the Holy Ghost, doesn't come from me. The anointing comes from the Holy Ghost. If you have been touched by this broadcast, it's because the Holy Ghost has a plan for you, and he wants to send you out, and he wants you to bring the message of Jesus to people in your own home and in your own life. And you know what? Will you go? Will you go? Or will you be a closet Christian that swallows it? Will you tell people that are desperate that the answer is Jesus? Maria Vadia had a sister who continually told her about Jesus and being born again. And you know what? For 2 years, she closed her heart. And for 2 years, she closed her ears until she went to a charismatic prayer group. And she heard men praising God. And she said, I want what they have. I wonder, when they come to the church, the people say, I want what this church has. I wonder if that's the message we send to people, or is it just a folk mass or a Latin liturgy? Oh, they're all good, but the message is not the folk mass. The message is not the new catechism. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ found in the new catechism. The message is Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which we are saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. We continue to pray for the people in Newtown, Connecticut. Father, I pray for the fathers and mothers, the sisters and brothers that will be burying their children today and tomorrow and the next day. I pray for them. I pray, God, that the church would hear the message of Jesus and that we would be renewed and that we would be transformed and that we would be able to help people. Oh, yes, I pray for the people in Newtown, Connecticut. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to preach your gospel. Help us to go to one person today. Tell the Lord, send me to one person, just one person, just one person. I want to invite you on Sunday to the live nativity. It begins at Holy Rosary at 3:30 in the afternoon. The live nativity at Holy Rosary, 3:30 in the afternoon, 3:30 to 5 o'clock. You're welcome to come. We will have our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, the kings and the shepherds and the angels, and we will have live animals. But it's all about Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not about anything else but Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not a holiday party in the school. It's a Christmas party. It's not a holiday this or a holiday that. It's about Jesus Christ. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.